gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages.
Sonoma Sun FM presents, live from Sonoma, California.
Which, of course, in German means a whale's vagina.
Tim Livingston.
Hey, big time Timmy Jim, what's up?
Pete Livingston.
My name? Peter.
And Sam Livingston.
Hate rabbits.
Taking you into Mondays, the only way they know how. With love.
I love you, Kick Puncher!
Los Livingston Brothers, on Sonoma Sun FM, KSVY 91.3, Sonoma.
What was that?
Can I do your greetings in Spanish?
Bienvenidos a Los Livingston Brothers! Está en KSVY 91.3.
Is this working?
Yeah, it's working fine. You sound
too... So you hear this when I...
Yeah.
I hear nothing.
I can't.
Sam doesn't either.
How about now?
No, I can't hear anything.
Because I can hear you perfectly. Maybe your headphones... Oh, dude, your headphones are not on. How about now?
No, I can't.
How about now?
No, I can hear you. I just can't hear me. That's weird.
Oh, you're on.
Not on four. I thought you were on four.
No, I'm on three.
Oh, okay. There you go. Pete's over there. Pete, so
can you turn my headphones down now because they're super loud?
Sorry, dude.
You can turn them up. Wait, now you can't hear. Hello.
This is our show.
Hello.
We've been doing this for 3 years. You'd think that I'd get the audio stuff done by now. Welcome to Los Livingston Brothers.
Hello.
Hi, how we doing? I'm Tim, the man sitting to my left, the handsome young gentleman, currently available, Sam Livingston.
Hello, hello.
The man to his left, currently not available, but still sexy, Pete Livingston. Hi, Pete.
Greetings.
Greetings.
And salutations.
Salutations and hello. So we are here on West Napa Street in Sonoma. So we hope that you enjoy us. Also online at ksvy.org. You can also, if you got that TuneIn Radio or that any of those other radio apps, if you just type in KSVY 91.3, you'll find us. So if you want to listen to us that way, you can as well. Harrison Young will be joining us in the studio, our special guest.
Cool. We haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, it's been an infrequent time with him in studio. And we're trying like hell to get one Abraham Neosotelo on because that dude is salty. I bet he is salty as hell right now about what happened tonight.
I try as hell. I sent him a text message like 5 minutes ago.
And I sent him a Facebook message like right after Pete sent a text. So we're attacking him at all angles.
We'll see.
We're hoping that he comes on. Harrison, if you can get a hold of Neo too, whatever. No, but so he would come in to talk about the Royal Rumble that happened in Pittsburgh tonight. And we love it when Neo comes on to talk to the pro graps because that dude gets after it when it comes to professional wrestling. So
of course
that might happen at some point tonight. Here we are. It feels like what? Like April? What is this? Isn't it beautiful
out?
You
mean for weather?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever.
It's dry.
I want that rain.
It's very dry. I will say that much. It's dry.
We need to get wet.
My hands, my knuckles, actually,
ashy?
Have been chapped to the point where they crack. Slight, redness, possibly a little blood. I don't know. Yeah. But I've been having to moisturize for one of the first times in my entire life.
So I have this little... Yeah, I mean, we're not ashy Larry in here or anything like that, no. But it is dry.
It is.
It is a dry air. There's no wind. Nothing's being kicked up, which is good. Like, you're not getting anything, like no allergies yet, although that season's coming. But, yeah, man, it's weird. Totally weird weather. But yeah.
We'll get some rain eventually.
Yeah. This is the Sunday of the year where literally, like,
we talk about global warming.
Like, global warming, yeah.
Whether it's real or fake.
Right. If you want to call in with your ideas about global warming.
Let's stir up the pot.
707-933-9133. We want the people. Their input. We need this.
How are my audio levels? Because I still can't really hear myself.
You're tipping that zero. You're right there at that zero.
Okay. Really weird.
Yeah.
What's been happening with our equipment?
I don't know.
I can't hear myself. Really?
Yeah, see, you're perfect. Yeah.
Well, actually, when I press in harder on my...
Yes.
On my earphones, I can... Yeah. But it sounds like Neil, we're going to have Neil on. He hit me up. Cool. I'll shoot him the number, and he'll give us
awesome.
A call.
Awesome. That would be awesome to get him on. We're not sure, but like I said, salty. If you're looking for some of that iodized salt, we're going to bring it to you here in a few minutes. But this is really the Sunday of the year where nothing happens. It's the Pro Bowl. It's the Grammys.
You know what, though? The Pro Bowl, I do have to give them credit because it was actually the most entertaining Pro Bowl. I mean, not saying much because the other Pro Bowls were kind of laughable.
Sure.
But this one was actually fairly entertaining. I don't know if the league actually had a big sit down with the players and said, you have to give some sort of an effort.
Well, they mentioned during the broadcast, they were showing replays from the game from last year.
Horrendous.
And Chris Collinsworth brought up how Roger Goodell says, okay, if you guys are going to play this way, either we need to fix how this is played or we're just not going to have a Pro Bowl. And so they tried a couple different things, and it turned out to be a pretty decent thing.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what they're going to be able to build upon, though.
No, and it shouldn't be a big slobber knocker of an event. If they want to play and have fun, I think that's totally okay. It's completely entertainment. I always got a bigger kick out of before the game. They used to do this. They may or may not still do this. They used to do like the flag football game, and then they would do the skills challenge where they would do stuff like the bench press or skills or like the 40-yard dash. I always thought that was awesome.
I think what would be really cool is to see some type of like you said, skills competition, like, you know, deep accuracy or...
Well, they used to do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that, but they used to broadcast that.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was sweet. Like, Larry Allen would win the bench press competition, like, every year.
Larry Allen would win the bench press competition with one hand because he's freaking Larry Allen.
But I thought that was cool.
He goes in the Hall of Fame, I think, this year or next year.
He went in last year.
Last year, yeah. That dude.
There's going to be some really good Hall of Fame classes coming up.
There was, I don't know. I'm trying to remember when it was. I think it was right after.
Are we 933-9133?
Yes, sir. 707 okay. Area code. 707-933-9133. And when Larry Allen retired, this was the best part. The Press Democrat was actually the best newspaper to cover his retirement because all of his old Sonoma State stories came up.
Oh, yeah.
And they're legendary. Absolutely legendary. It's like Michael Oher in The Blind Side, except better.
Except he
was in college doing it, and he was literally sending dudes to the hospital from Cal State East Bay or Hayward at the time, because he's like, no, that's not happening. It was pretty great. I miss Larry Allen. There's no like big nasty lineman like that anymore. I mean, Iapati's great.
I think there are.
But I mean, like Larry Allen was like on another level entirely.
Well, those guys show up. I mean, they may not always be necessarily on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah,
I think Ndamukong Suh is in that mold.
He's nasty. He's totally nasty.
Both, I think, kind of in a skill. He's not as big as Larry Allen.
No,
physically.
No, but he's imposing.
I think he's very strong.
Yeah,
and he's very good at what he does.
And
even if he wasn't, you know, the quote-unquote bad boy of the NFL, he would still...
Well, I'd love to see what he does with, like, Warren's... Like, I think he's going to have Warren Sapp's career.
Yeah, he'll be a Hall of Famer.
Which is, like, the best defensive lineman of his generation.
Definitely.
People forget how good Warren Sapp was. He was freaking incredible.
I don't know if people forget how good he was.
Well, I mean... Okay, I guess we should say that because of the timeliness. Like, I think a lot of people around here only remember his Raiders years, and he was not good with the Raiders.
No.
But when he was the main two technique tackle on those Bucks defensive fronts.
Yeah.
And guards had to take him on one and one, and he was beating, you know, he's beating double teams out the freaking wazoo, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, the first of our two special guests tonight, joining us all the way from the other side of Sonoma.
From Guadalajara, Sonoma. Can you turn up my headphones for four?
Quattro.
There you go.
Hey, welcome to Harrison Young.
Wait, I'm the first guest?
You're the first guest.
I'm the first one.
You may have not heard us on the radio, but we are shortly expecting a call from one Abraham Neo Sotelo.
Oh, really?
He's a little salty about what happened at the Royal Rumble tonight. We're going to give him a chance to vent things out. And speaking of...
We're going to challenge him to a $50,000 money match.
Joining us live from, I believe it's Southern California, probably salty as all hell about what happened tonight in the realm of professional wrestling. Noted money match winner and hype man for the FGC and the Ultimate Marvel community, the one, the only, Neo Abraham Sotelo. Neo, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. What's going on?
It's fantastic to have you on. Been a while since we actually had you on the show, which is, you know, great to have you back.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, we wanted to get you on. Pete wanted to get you on. He was all like, we should get Neo on. I was like, yeah, we should get Neo on. That'd be awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, everybody.
Thank you, Pete. But yeah, man, so, I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. I got a chance to catch the match itself, but you watched it from start to finish, obviously. What were your thoughts on everything, just as a whole, like your first thoughts once the show ended?
This is probably one of the worst, if not the worst Royal Rumble that I've ever watched. And I've pretty much watched all of them except maybe the first three or right. four. And just the organization of WWE's decisions lately is just, it's very confusing. I mean, I'm more calm now, but especially if you grew up watching this, like you're attached to the product and, you know, if you kept on with it. So, you know, I think we all understand the motives of the PG era because of John Cena and, you know, the marketing that the WWE wants to push is geared towards the younger generation. Like, I understand that. So not everybody likes John Cena, you know? But the decisions that they're making, especially with this pay-per-view, were nothing short of outrageous. I'm just so, I'm starting to get salty again.
Here's my take is that I think that in ways they do acknowledge the intelligence of their fans and how this is not the same group from maybe 15 years ago, 20 years ago. People have wisened up so much on what is good product, what is bad product, and it's really hard to pull the wool over the people's eyes. And I do know that people were going absolutely crazy and that they were actually getting booed. And it was, like, really, really loud from what I heard.
Yeah, the thing is I think that's one of the angles that what you said is exactly right. I think people before were more prone to accepting what they were being shoved down their throats because they didn't really have, you know, I don't think the crowd was as educated and had as much access
exactly.
to resources.
Totally.
Actually during the matches, the people, like, especially during Orton versus Cena, that looked like a Monday night match and a crappy one at that. You know, just like stale movement, stale. And I don't even think it's Orton, maybe. You know, it's John Cena's five moves of doom that everybody knows about, that he, you know, his wrestling ability is very limited. So, you know, people were booing because they you know what? They started chanting Daniel Bryan, which I thought was so, you know, I think it's just a crowd's desperation to say, can you give us something we want to see? And that's Daniel Bryan. So, you know, but what really, 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 really ticked me off is that Bryan wasn't even in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and so earlier in the night he faced Bray Wyatt, and the plan now is for Wyatt to go on and face Cena at the Rumble, and that happened obviously at WrestleMania. It happened in the Cena Orton match, but they did the whole thing where Bryan had like a concussion, and they played it off like he wasn't going to be able to be in the match that night. That was kind of their cover for it. But what happened was, and this is what was hilarious about it, they booked it where Bautista was number 29.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 30th spot was open, and it basically gave everybody hope that he would be the last guy to come in.
Exactly.
And then
that's what I was hoping for.
And then Rey Mysterio gets booed harder than he's probably ever had in his entire career. And that's not on him. That's on what happened leading up to that, you know.
Some staff. And the thing is like, I'm somewhat confused because obviously Triple H and Stephanie, I don't think, you know, it's not, a lot of people think that it's just them. Obviously, you know, there's a whole board of directors and all, that actually make those decisions, like, together. And Vince McMahon still oversees these decisions, for the most part.
Yeah,
he's not as involved. So I'm just, I don't understand exactly what they're trying to do, unless the only thing that I can see is that they're actually just trying to frustrate the crowd enough so that when they do give us Daniel Bryan, it's like this extremely big thing where like everybody's happy after so much torture. Other than that, I really just don't see this. Like,
I just think it's crazy when they do stuff like that during pay-per-views.
Right, that was my next
yeah.
point. Right.
And then the other thing, and you can, because you saw the match, obviously. I did not get to see it, but I remember, what pay-per-view was it where it was, he went to UFC, Brock. It was Brock Lesnar, and he was going up against
The Big Show.
Was it The Big Show?
Are you talking about for tonight?
No, not tonight. This was like maybe two years ago, and he had come back.
It was probably him and Cena.
Yeah, but they like totally were like throwing the match, like giving the worst possible.
No, that is 2004. Lesnar and Goldberg.
That's what it was.
And both of them were up. Their contracts were up after that night.
Yeah,
and so Austin was the ref,
and they were kind of pretty much giving the middle finger to Vince and the whole entire organization because of, I don't know if it was contract negotiations or they weren't getting money or whatever.
Well, no, it was because the fans knew that both of them were leaving. And so they turned on the match. 2 minutes in, they're saying, you sold out, and Brock and Goldberg are just kind of standing there.
Yeah, just walking around, kind of just doing the site. And they did that for like 10 minutes.
Right.
And I remember watching that thinking, this is so weird. This is so crazy. Did that match, tonight's match, have that kind of vibe? Like, or was it just bad booking when everybody was booing and going crazy?
Yeah, I think the reason why a lot of this is happening is because there is no more competition, at least relevant competition for WWE to like compete against.
Yeah, they swallowed everything. They ate everything up.
I think that ranges, like, that has a lot of effect on a lot of angles, especially like the wrestling. If you actually take a look at everything that they do, is longevity. It's very fail safe. They don't do a lot of high-risk moves because they don't want to damage their product, which is their wrestlers.
Right.
So they will, you know, limit, you know, how much they will fly, how flying moves they do. It's all very controlled now, and it's very stale because they don't really have a WCW breathing down their necks, you know, or somebody else who can be. Like, if you're a wrestling fan, unless you're completely disgusted to the point where you can't watch anymore, which I'm kind of getting close to, I think we all might be at least a little bit annoyed about having today.
Well,
unless that happens, you have no other alternative unless, you know, you do go to Ring of Honor or TNA or something like that. But
they struggle so much sometimes.
Well,
like those guys.
So a couple things to keep in mind here is the main reason they're going for with Batista is because when he returned on Monday, it popped the largest rating that Monday Night Raw had in, I think, at least a year. They popped when he was on. They popped 5.9 million viewers when he was on screen.
So
that alone, their idea was maybe they should put him over in the Rumble, make him the guy for WrestleMania. That alone made them do that. The second thing, and this is the part that people don't really want to hear, is that what Bryan does from a live crowd standpoint doesn't really matter because they're going to fill the crowds anyway.
Yeah, they're going to sell tickets.
It's things like merch. It's things like advertising, right?
Oh, like the Cena gear.
So Cena, top flight. Orton, top flight. Batista coming back, pushing ratings. That's more advertising revenue for the company. They're a month away from releasing the WWE Network, right? So all of a sudden, they are locked in. They are locked into what they want to do for these next 3 months because they don't want to mess anything up with the network coming and with WrestleMania coming. The problem is that now these live crowds are going to get vocal enough to the point where Daniel Bryan's going to be a thorn in those so well-laid plans that now something's going to have to happen. So the idea is they're going to probably build to a Bryan-Sheamus rematch where Bryan gets his win back when he lost to Sheamus in 18 seconds 2 years ago. But it's like there's going to have to be something done here. And
what happened? They had – I just don't know. How did they fumble CM Punk?
Well,
how did they mess that up? They had the best thing going for – it was so alternative.
There was too many chiefs. Like, there's too many – people right now that are gunning for the main, the you know, the main storylines.
Yeah.
And, you know, Punk's main storyline at the time dealt with by being represented with Paul Heyman. Then they worked the whole angle with him turning against Heyman, them having their little rivalry, you know, yeah. their fallout. And then Punk got redirected. Like, I think they literally told Punk, hey, you know, you obviously had to run. We have to obviously give other people chances, or at least give other people some spotlight. So then, you know, they did like the Brian, you know, they hyped up Brian, and then they kind of put Punk against the Shield, you know, like to kind of like give him something to do. But I do agree with what you were saying, that I personally had thought, like me and Justin were talking about this, how more than I honestly thought that John Cena would probably win tonight. And then it would either be end up as Orton versus Bryan at WrestleMania, or Cena versus Bryan.
Right.
One of those things, which could still, I guess, technically could happen. You know, because I mean, you know, people lose Royal Rumble. I mean, they lose like their right some way or somehow sometimes. But
yeah.
I don't understand why, like, other than the rating, which I read about yesterday. Like when Batista came out, he was getting booed
right.
to the point where it's even the commentators at one point were like astonished at how much booing and like they started to chant, "This is awful."
Yeah,
you know how they always chant, "This is awesome."
Yeah.
So I think even the commentators at that point like didn't even know, like there's only so much, like the commentators are actually instructed by staff when the crowd starts you know yelling something that's not convenient to the viewers to hear, talk over them, you know, or like
exactly yeah.
Yeah, and it got to the point where they couldn't because the crowd was, like you said, too vocal. So
yeah.
I don't know what they're going to do, but I think this is an issue where it's just really bad, like on so many levels. Like, I think Orton and Cena is just so stale at this point.
Yeah.
They've literally done everything. Like,
they're so vanilla,
well, too. They're not going to face each other again on a top program anytime soon. Like, I think this is done. They had to do it because they wanted to do the whole generational thing. But Roman Reigns got the Superman push tonight. He set the record for most Royal Rumble eliminations, and it was the final two between him and Batista. So I think he's going to be the next guy that they push. They're going to do a breakup with him in the Shield at WrestleMania at some point.
Is WrestleMania right. the next pay-per-view?
No. And this is my next thing. So they have the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view coming up in February.
Mm-hmm.
Notably, even after the Royal Rumble, the heavyweight championship was put in an Elimination Chamber match. I don't think you're going to see Brian take that match, but there is a chance. Like, and this is what happened 10 years ago with, quote, you know, "He who shall not be named," Mr. Chris Benoit. They they threw Michaels into that match with Triple H and Benoit just because they thought that was going to be what built the match, not Benoit. This now, if Daniel Bryan is not involved in the main event, you're talking about 75,000 fans, the most hardcore fans on the planet from all over the world coming together, and you're going to put Orton and Batista on last?
Yeah, no.
I can't see that happening.
I can't imagine that. Like, I was already so upset, like, because it's so many things, like, it's just so many different things that is not right with like not only the storyline, but just like the wrestling. The wrestling is really bad.
Yeah.
You know? Daniel Bryan is one of the best wrestlers. I personally think, you know, CM Punk goes around and says he's the best in the world. He's very, very good. But I, you know, a lot of people say Bryan is like the overall best in terms of,
yeah,
you know, everything he can do. He was taught by Shawn Michaels and all of that. And yet he has to limit himself.
With certain guys, he has to.
Wrestlers,
right.
You know?
Like, there's only certain guys that'll go with him the way he'd want to go. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and I think the crowd crowd realizes how good Bryan can be, and they're craving that. They're craving, like, they're tired of, you know, body slam into, you know, a sleeper hold.
Yeah, it's like the Hulk Hogan Warrior, like the just the vanilla.
Right.
You have guys like you were saying. They have like four or five moves and are just so insanely limited.
Well,
the only thing with Hogan was that at least Hogan was like an ultimate showman.
Yeah.
He could make it at least entertaining. But these guys are not of that mold.
But I want to point something out about Cena, and Neil agree with this too. When Cena faces a guy like a Bryan or a Punk, he gets up for them. That's the thing. Like the SummerSlam match with Bryan, it was unlike any Cena match that you had seen before because he had to wrestle Bryan's match. And that's the thing that got guys like Hogan or all these other guys. You have to wrestle that guy's match. Cena faces a guy like Bryan or faces a guy like CM Punk. All of a sudden, you're like, holy crap, where the hell did that come from? And it's because Cena knows that to face those guys, he's got to show that he can be move for move with those guys. Whereas with someone like Orton, it's like, oh, let's just throw the same old bag of tricks we always have, you know? Mm-hmm. Cena knows what's good for business because he picked Daniel Bryan. That's why he wrestled at SummerSlam. He picked Daniel Bryan, right? Not just in storyline terms, but behind the scenes. He picked him. He wanted him to be there. And then that's where they went on the storyline with him. But, like, what I think you're seeing now is the crowd has had 6 months of a taste of something new. And just like with Punk, like you brought up, they want that to happen.
Yeah.
They don't want a reversion to what the past was like. You know, like Del Rio, Orton, those guys, even Big Show. You know, we want to get past that. We need to move
they
on.
They need to move on. As a product, right? And we've been talking about product, like they have to move on from that. Right. I just feel like you just need to as an organization.
They have no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The thing is, once you mature or, you know, as we grew up from, like, you know, our teenage years until young adulthood, we start realizing, like, all right, this is a business. And, of course, from time to time, the business is not going to be perfect. They're not going to make the right decisions every time. So, but it's a product that you enjoy, so you want to stick with it. And but I feel that for every good storyline or every high that they have, they've been having about 10 or 15 lows.
Right.
And the thing is like, there's not much the quote-unquote WWE universe can, like do about it other than to wait for the next high. But now it's getting to the point where it's unmanageable, where, like, people are actually starting to speak up. Like, hey, yo, we want to see Daniel Bryan in the spotlight. Like, we don't care about, like, these, you know, bodybuilders that are somewhat okay wrestlers. Yeah, you know, like, I like that. I think I really, really like how the fans are starting to actually yell at Vince, you know, like.
Yeah, get some damn good product out there. You know, I really do. You want to know what really made the people go crazy and really tune in and just get the ahs, the oohs, everything, was when they had the athletic big men like a Brock Lesnar, like a Goldberg. I mean, never really. I think he may have came over shortly from ECW, but people like Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
You need an athletic big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't all have to be doing moonsault and presses off the top rope, but just there's plenty of athletic big guys out there.
And they do. They have them. Reigns is good. Biggie Langston's really good.
But they need to get pushed a little bit more.
Well, Reigns is the guy they want to push because he's Rock's cousin and they feel, you know, but a guy like Daniel Bryan, right? That's this is the thing, and I'll ask you this, Neo. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the whole Austin 316 was totally organic. That was something off the cuff.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that it didn't really build into a push until the Austin 316 shirt started selling. When that shirt started selling, that's what led to Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13. That's what led to the turn, and that's what led to him being the winner of the WrestleMania 14 main event.
Right.
Do you think that there's a chance that like that could happen with Daniel Bryan at this point? Because I think he really is like one moneymaker away from making anything that the WWE had as far as long-term plans mean nothing.
Yeah, no, you know what? Daniel Bryan is actually one of the most interesting characters and wrestlers that I've seen from this generation, or actually any, even from the past. Because the thing is because Triple H actually came out and did a promo with him and Stephanie about a month ago, I want to say. And it was actually very, very, very real. You know, one of those promos that as a fan...
Yeah, that
you
toes know the line, yeah.
But then at the same time, they say things that you know they're like hard-hitting in real life, that maybe in the back, and like they might even talk about it amongst themselves when they go to the like locker room, like, yo, dude, you didn't have to say that. You know, something along those lines. He told Daniel Bryan, you are a very good B+.
Yeah.
Because you remind me of guys like Rob Van Dam, Edge, and Jericho. You know, they were top guys, but they were never the one, and you don't deserve to be like the one. And I was like thinking, yo, is he really? Is that part of the script that they're later gonna make him the one, or you know, or is this all a setup to like make the fans, you know, get upset and then, you know, all of that? And like, they haven't pushed him yet. I think, I don't know, because you know, like the top guys, they never wear, they always wear like boots and trunks. You know, they never wear like the knee pads or like, or I mean like you know,
the kick pads, yeah,
the kickbacks, yeah. Like they never pushed a guy to that degree where he was like the center of attention. And you know, he's short and all of these other things. I think it would be amazing. I actually think he might be a top seller for the shirts already. I haven't actually done that research.
Yeah,
but I can only imagine how many yes shirts he sold.
Right,
I love the yes shirts. They're
right,
hilarious.
And so
I think they're so funny,
and I think they're close to. Like I said, he's got the people behind him, and this is funny. I think he's more over now before a big push than Austin was. Austin started getting more over. Like with the shirts, and then, you know, then Bret Hart said, I want to work with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Brought him on. They had the Survivor Series match, and people were like, okay.
Yeah, Austin was such a game. Well, I mean, everybody knows, but he was just such a game changer in that he was so heel that people loved him for being so heel.
Right.
That people yeah. just. They he and
Neo
he
was, knows. Yeah, Neo knows about
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Neo knows. Neo knows about that saltiness.
That's right. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
Yeah.
Let's transition real quickly
Please.
About Marvel. So, is anything going down? I gotta ask: is anything going down with you and Nemo? Any
yeah,
money matches?
The thing is I after the money match with Fnatic, I said, okay, so he's faced a call with some of my friends here. I want to play this guy because I, you know, as you guys know, my biggest improvements and attention to fighting games comes from like those type of matches. So I really, really, really want to test myself again. And I put it on Twitter. I said, would you want to do a high stakes money match?
I know. I saw that. I got excited.
Yeah. And he said, yeah. He said, actually, I really want to, I've always wanted to play you. I didn't know you did this matches anymore. I'm like, okay, so let's do it. But the thing is, he beat Filipino champ, you know, one of my really good friends. So, what he was saying is that he wants to extend champ the courtesy of a rematch, you know, before, like, I guess, quote-unquote, moving on.
Can he do that, though, under if he's doing his whole sponsorship thing? Or no? Do you know?
Yeah. This is actually very interesting. Japanese players, I actually learned this just recently. A lot of them are very, very, like, you know how, like, a lot of them are very quiet and polite? And,
yes.
You know, that's so cool. At the same time, there's some of them that do that are kind of like fall out of that norm and don't really necessarily fall into those rules of like, you know, don't do this, don't do that, don't money match, don't do that. And Nemo's one of those guys.
Yeah, because so, I mean, over there, you can't for their tournaments and stuff. Nobody, you can't get money. They consider yeah. it like gambling. So, like you were saying, there's a few of those guys over there from Japan, and I met a few of them when I was over there filming with Ryan that are just, they're obsessed with money. Like, that's their thing. They love to go do the money matches because, yeah. like you were saying, they can't do that over there. That's not,
yeah, there it's looked down upon, you know, like...
Exactly.
It's very strict over there in terms of, you know, you play for honor, you play for... You know, they still have that mentality, but there are a couple who, you know... Don't necessarily follow the rules.
Oh no, they'll take your money in a heartbeat.
Yeah. You know, and they do enjoy the challenge of having something on the line, blah blah. So he said yes, and the thing is he doesn't really like Ryan, and Ryan, I mean, I you know, Ryan is kind of trolling him. You know, Ryan's always trolling people, but he actually doesn't like Ryan, from what I understand. So he actually like enjoys playing him, and Ryan won last time, you know, but. When I hit him up and I said, hey, let's do this match, he said, I would love to play you if you will please let me play Ryan to give him a rematch, and then I would love to play you. So at that point, I said, okay, so I can respect that, but I'm not going to come after you anymore. You know, like, I mean, if you want to do it, that's cool, but I'm not going to just wait on you. Like, if you want to do it afterwards, that's fine, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, but I respect that. You know, like, he wants to give him a chance to make, get his money back. Like, that's always really good when somebody does that. And I personally hope Brian wins, of course, he's my friend. But,
it's always nice to take the guy down, to be the one to take the guy down.
Yeah. So, that's supposed to happen, sometime this year. But if it doesn't happen at the event they're planning it to go down, then, I have no problem facing him at Evo or something like that. And I actually got really excited.
That'd be dope.
Because, those matches really push me. You know, for me, tournaments, I really like tournaments for a lot of reasons. But to me, nothing brings, like, the excitement and, right, like, the, hey, you got to prepare for this guy.
That's right.
You have, like, a long
set. And Saturday night. Make it the money match that ends everything on Saturday night at Evo. That'd be sick!
Well,
that'd be sick!
We'll see I don't know if the Cannons would do that, but it's just, like,
we'll stream
I would love to see it.
We'll stream it.
I think they could hear me out because I'm sponsoring Evo again this year. So at least, you know, I get to have a couple of words with them formally, like as to, you know, do some business. And then maybe I can sneak it in there and be like, hey, so I have this idea. And people really like Nemo and I can be a really good villain. So I think I could get you, 60, 70, 80,000 viewers for this.
Oh, look at you. Look at you, Mr. Booker, man. I love it. Man, so we'll that's see, why, we'll man, see. That pro wrestling.
If you were going to face Nemo, and me and Harrison actually talk about this quite a bit. Who do you go to practice that team against?
You know what?
Who plays that team?
There's, like, a lot of good Novas. And granted, nobody plays exactly the way he plays. He's very interesting in that he is...
Well, just his team,
reckless, but
his
he takes a lot of chances, you know. He, but they're calculated chances, so he's not. It's not like he's a complete nut. But you know, I feel that Yipes has a very, very obviously very good Nova. Insane has a really good Nova, and Doctor Strange as well. They're not Nemo, of course, but there's some guys out there that know how to play that team.
Harrison, is your Doctor Strange at the par?
My Marvel is not up
there. Okay.
I got two of the three documentary guys on the show right now.
What up, Ryan? Shouts to Ryan.
He's doing
big time in it. Nah. So, but that's good. So what's your next big tournament that you got your eye on?
SCR is coming up in February. So I'm, very excited because I get to, compete and also sponsor it. And so I'm gonna have my booth there.
I gotta get some shots of you with your booth for the prologue at the end of the movie, like where everybody is now.
Yeah.
If you, I'll hit you up, and you gotta send me some pictures that I can put in the documentary.
Oh, that would be awesome.
For your underground syndicate stuff that you got going on right now.
Because that stuff is blowing up, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the community has been supportive. Obviously, not everybody is in love with it. I do get, obviously get hate mail every now and then, but the community has been very supportive overall, and I've been able to, go to majors and contribute to sponsorship, and players like the gear, so it's all working out. Most of all, though, I really just do it, to do something fun and to contribute to the community in some way, and to help out sponsorships to, make events happen, because I feel like the FGC is already challenged as it is in terms of, trying to get to the esports level and all of that.
Right.
And, this is just one way that, I can personally help out events to get more traction, to, get more sponsorships out there. So,
you know what I think you need to do? Is that you need to go get a replica of the $1 million belt.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that belt? The money sign one?
Yeah.
And just walk around with that.
That's a money match belt.
Or get that, or make a shirt that has that on it down by the waist. It's like a tall tee with that on it, so it looks like you're wearing the $1 million belt.
And just, I like that idea.
And just wear that for all your money matches. And just play people in your $1 million belt shirt.
That's tight. That's cool. Actually, I might look into that. That actually sounds like a legit idea.
And we got to talk to the Cannons about stop with the glass trophies and start handing out championship belts at Evo.
That's right. People should get belts.
Belts!
Belts would be dope.
Forget trophies.
I think they talked about doing that one time.
Yeah. Well, I know. What's it out in Orlando?
CEO.
I mean, they had the whole ProRes intro thing a couple years ago. They need to. I mean, I'd give belts out. I'd give a belt away.
Belt would be
yeah,
dope.
Yeah. No, they do it sometimes, but I think they need to stick with it. Like, I think that's what you mean. Like, they need to just do that because I think people relate. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, a glass trophy is really cool and it's classy, but I think people get automatically really hyped because we always relate belts to, you know, like boxing or some sort of like combat competitive event where like the winner gets the belt, the champ, you know?
So, shouts to Rasheed like Wallace.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, good deal, man.
Well, Neo, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, man. And we expected, we thought there was going to be a whole bunch of salt. You brought some salt. But you know,
but a lot of happiness.
A lot of happiness. We come away from this happy.
I mean, I'm trying to not be as salty as I can be. But no, you guys should have seen me when all that. I was just as mad as the crowd was. I'm sure you guys like.
Well, I saw the Facebook feed.
Yeah, I saw Twitter and Facebook. And
you were blown up.
People were pissed.
You know what's crazy? Like, you know, like just like a quick note. We didn't know how good we had it back then.
Oh, right.
So like, yeah,
it's insane.
Now,
for
like,
a good like
it was
20
amazing.
Years,
like. Like, the gold TV they were giving us back then was standard to us because that's the level that we got to experience, you know, from all those guys.
And it was, like, every week.
Yeah.
Now we're...
It wasn't just, like, once a month or once every few months, like, oh, they have something good going. It was, like, multiple angles, multiple storylines going on, and it was every week. It was awesome.
Yeah.
But, for sure.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for having me on. You know, like, I actually wish I could come on more often, so...
I'll hit you up some more to
we'll
come
get
on
you on
the
it.
Show.
How can the people reach you?
Oh, okay. So on Twitter, you can follow me at GoldenBoyNeo. You know, for anything from Marvel related to wrestling related to just, you know, anything. Just Facebook Abraham Sotella if you want to request me.
Cool. And then Underground Syndicate, right?
Absolutely. I'm UndergroundSyndicateShop.com. And it's also on my Twitter. So all the information for the website is on my Twitter.
Cool.
When's Marvel?
You know, shout out to you guys.
That's right.
I always have fun coming on your show.
No problem,
and,
man.
We'll get that documentary
I'm really,
out, I swear.
Like, excited to see when you guys release, like, you know, the documentary.
Well, I'll get that out, I promise.
Yeah, man. Pete's working on it now. And,
it's things slow down a little bit when you get married. And then, I had my first kid, like, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really? Oh,
so
awesome.
I have been,
congratulations.
This past year, I've been busy.
So yeah, you
I
have.
Can imagine, man.
Oh, hey!
You said it. No, but yeah, man. He's
but
been
that,
busy.
The documentary will be out though, and so it's still being worked on. But I'll send you some clips.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
It's really cool. Yeah. And thank you guys for having me on.
No problem, Neo. Thank you. SCR coming out. Head up Neo on Twitter and the Facebook and Underground Syndicate.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Always good to have. Have Neo on.
Yeah, man. I mean, that he brought the salt early, but we come around, you know, smiles at the end.
And then he was happy.
And he was very happy. So.
And Harrison was just streaming on his phone.
Yeah.
It was not Hotacon. It was, what was it?
Alpha Clash.
Alpha Clash.
Yeah.
Where was that at?
South
Bay,
I think.
Yeah, South Bay.
Milpitas?
No. I think a little bit north of that.
Okay.
Like Mountain View, I think.
Oh, okay.
I just remember Vidon's post.
He oh, yeah, that's right, yeah,
Facebook.
Him and Huda
I
Man
wanted
went
to
down,
go,
yeah.
But it started really late, like at 7 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, that's a long drive.
Ooh, boy.
Especially if you're going to play Street Fighter 4,
right?
That's a long tournament.
What are they in, like?
And they just ended.
Like, so. Oh, they just ended? Just now?
Yeah,
holy
so.
Crap,
who won? Did LPN
we were
come
watching
back?
It.
I didn't get to see.
Oh,
I didn't get to see.
The Huda Man lost.
Oh, Lawson.
LPN reset the bracket.
LPN's so good.
Huda Man's been on a roll too.
Yeah, he has. He was he killed it. I don't think he lost a match.
He needs a break. He needs
on Monday.
He needs to just get a good bracket in Evo.
I could see him be top 8 this
year.
He's
one of those people. He is like in the community. People know who he is, but I think it's mostly if you're a tournament player. I obviously know who he is just because, of course, being at Starbase, like going to Starbase for years, like, of course, you know who he is.
Yeah.
And I think that people that have played him in tournaments, everybody comes away going like, damn, that guy's really good.
Yeah.
So they know who he is. And he beat Justin Wong in that one tournament in SoCal, was it, last year? He won some tournament. And that was kind of cool because it almost kind of like put him on the spot a little bit.
He got top 8 at SCR.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
No, because I think he won a tournament. Or maybe not. I don't know. But he did really, really well.
It wasn't a major, but he went down and won a tournament.
Yeah.
And it was against, yeah. I mean,
But I just feel like he's one of those guys, like he's so good. Like he plays Honda so differently.
It's so cool.
Than everybody else. Like he does so many ballsy things. Like he was going up against LPN, who's just world-class Cammy player. And just the timing that he has for like his standing fierce. Like I don't know how many times he hits him with like at point-blank range, times it out, either anticipates a move coming out or counters, but I just don't know how he does it. Like I would just hold back and just be like so afraid to hit any buttons. But Hudaman is just so good with Honda. Like it's insane. Like his level of Honda play is, I don't know. Do you think he's the best in the world at Honda?
Yeah.
I mean, granted, there's not a whole lot of people that really play Honda.
Right.
I'm sure there's maybe one or two guys in Japan that are really, really good too. But Hudaman is just so awesome. I'm interested to see what happens with Honda in the Ultra update.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to like.
I don't think
better, yet. To be honest.
Really?
I think you're going to just change him for no reason.
I hate it when they do that. That always pisses me off so much. Why do you change something that's already solid?
Yeah.
Like,
that, needs, well, no, they, you know, they change just one or two buffs, but they want to just make the game so crazy and people want to get hyped for it. So they're just, you know, changing all of his specials for no reason. Like, EX headbutt, you can punish it now.
That's his only, like, safe move.
But they made his command grab throw and hit invincible, like his EX one.
I thought it was always...
No.
So it didn't have armor before?
No, it's just invincible.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah.
It was like Able ZX.
Well, it's going to be like that
so
now.
You could like bait out ultras and supers and just time that, like do an EX Ochio throw, and it would just like whiff through you?
He loves close-up EX headbutt, so maybe he just throws Ochio in there more often.
No, I'm just saying, like if you were doing some
It's just a weird mind game that they're adding for no reason. Like, he already has an EX headbutt that's really good.
That's insanely good.
Yeah, I don't know
that
why.
Nothing beats.
I don't know why they need to give him another reversal that's just as unsafe. And then make his other reversal that was good more unsafe. Hmm. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Hmm. I don't see how that's helping him at all.
Interesting.
I do find that interesting. But it's exciting. I'm really excited. I want to see what happens. I want to see the final build
for Ultra,
of Ultra.
Right.
That's what I really want to see.
The beta testing for it should be like any day.
Yeah, they're
now
doing location tests.
Yeah. Well, they did location tests. They made the changes on those already, but like the final testing is happening in the next couple
when's
of weeks.
When's it supposed to come out? April?
I think so.
Yeah.
Very God, crazy. That's like an eternity, so we're going to have to wait for the final character forever.
They have to get it out for April so they can have it for Evo. They can't do it any later.
Well, of course.
Right. Otherwise, the only people who are going to play in the tournament are going to be the people who tested it.
No, of course they're going to get it out.
So.
Dude,
why me on Monday? Holy crap. That place was
pretty
packed.
Good. Yeah.
We had Smash. Shout out to Smash community.
I heard.
30 people.
I heard. That's amazing.
AE did good, too. AE had 20 people in the pool.
There was a lot of people. Waimi Dojo might just be the new...
People came up from South Bay.
It was really cool.
People came up for an 8 o'clock, 8:30 start end up being from the South Bay.
I hope
it
keeps going.
Yeah, but I mean, we always finish on time.
Yeah.
And quickly. And we finished it earlier because of, like, those South Bay guys.
Right.
We didn't want to have them back home at, like, you know, 1 in the morning.
Right.
That's, like, 4
Enjoy that 2.5-hour drive, fellas.
Right.
So we wanted to get it done as soon as possible.
It did well.
Good for you guys. That
was
nice.
It was good stuff.
A tournament for the people.
Yeah. And he talks about a 7 o'clock start time next time
no way people are going to show up at 7.
No. Nah.
I don't think Josh is there at 7.
Yeah, true.
Like,
true.
He just gets there. Like, damn, there's nothing set up at 7.
Yeah.
So it's not going
to
happen.
Shout-outs to the Adam Richmond.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking
was that on stream?
No, so...
I was testing a recording, and I hit it for, like, 10 seconds.
Was that
seconds.
On your phone?
No, it was on, like, when I recorded the stream.
Okay.
And it's just, like, there's nobody playing. There's nothing going on. And then it's just, like... oh, I gotta test it. So I hit it, and then that's what he says. And then literally right after he said that, that clip is
the only clip
recording.
Right. That's awesome. That's
so I didn't shave anything.
I thought you guys went
anything.
To Ike's or something.
Well, no. So I thought you were in like Santa Rosa. I was doing some stuff in Santa Rosa with Sam, and I told Harrison that since I was doing it, I'd pick up Ike's. And so we did, and we got down there like right before 8, and I thought, oh crap, we're going on stream. And I was eating my sandwich, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh god, I have my headset off. So I just took it down and had it around my neck, and I didn't think he was recording. I go over and I start playing on the main setup because, oh, now he's testing the stream and all that stuff. So I didn't even know he had anything on while I was eating it. And it was like the damnedest thing. I was like, where did that come from?
That clip is so godlike.
The worst part is I misspelled sandwiches in the video. I
just forgot the S. But like, that wink, though. That wink!
That wink at the end. I'm like, there had to be something.
Oh, that was incredible.
What is that? What's that? What's on the sandwich? I'm curious.
Well, you say bought it. My voice is like.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Yeah. So it's the chicken, but then they put ham, honey, Swiss cheese, pesto.
That's weird.
Did you say avocado?
An avocado.
That's weird.
Yeah, but it's godlike. It is like it literally is one of the best sandwiches, if not the best sandwich, as I said in that clip I've ever had.
Sorry, I was just saying I had the bear cub for the first time. That was
what's
my first.
What's on the bear cub?
That's just barbecue pulled pork with lettuce, and then it had some sort of. It's like porta. No, what's the cheese that?
It was cheddar.
Just cheddar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cheddar.
And I had on sourdough. So, ooh, of course.
Sourdough, nice.
Yeah.
I still have not been to Ike's.
That I'm rich, man.
I have not been to Ike's.
If I'm up to Santa Rosa. And I'm feeling like I need to get something to eat. I know you love your Mambo's. Mambo's are nice right there next to each other. I will let you know, and I can bring you a sandwich.
Yeah, bring me one. Because everybody talks about Ike's. Haven't had one.
Have you ever been to Fremont Diner lately?
Not lately.
Oh, yeah, you got to tell the story.
Not years.
That was incredible.
It's not really a story.
Well, it's funny.
When I was driving out there, I was really hoping that would happen because I knew it would be really busy, but... Sunday are like, I don't know, just any time really.
Oh, yeah, no, Sundays the weekends are crazy.
Well, Sunday is their biggest day because they do their fried chicken on Sundays. And I think I don't want to say they only do it on Sundays.
No, they do it on every day, I think.
Okay, yeah. But Sundays, they like sell out by whatever time. It's like they no more fried chicken.
But I went there, and like I know there's going to be like 50 people, but they have the bar.
Yeah.
And so there's like 50 people there. Must be like... I bet I ate and I walked out, and all the people that were waiting there.
Same person at
same
the front
people,
of the line.
Yeah.
It's like super pissed.
It's just like, I don't. That's ridiculous.
Like, it's like being in a line at Disneyland. You can do the single rider and just go right to the front.
Oh, that's what we did when we went.
Or wait in line for 2 hours.
Single rider was our friend, Matterhorn, the Cars ride. Forget you guys.
Yeah, get yours and go.
That's right.
Peace out.
Later. But yeah, man. So, shout outs to Adam Richmond and shout outs to Ike's because that truly was godlike. Thank you, Harrison. Harrison with the recommendation of all sandwich recommendations.
It's the best sandwich that they have.
It
like,
really is.
Hands down.
So,
very nice.
Very good stuff. So, I'm trying to think if there's anything else. Sports. I don't care. Really, right now, baseball's in 4 weeks. That's when we're starting. Pablo Sandoval, skinny as all hell.
Now,
yeah, I know.
Lost, dude. So when your brother is your chef and then becomes one of your representatives, you better listen to him because now he's lost like 42 pounds.
Well, he did that last year or the year before, whenever that was.
But now he's got his brother there. He's got family now, like close to him, and like actually looking out for him.
Come August, we'll let's see what he's doing.
It's true, and he knows it's a contract year. He wants that money.
That's
we'll
the
see.
Thing. Like it's a contract year, so is he just doing it for a contract? Like
yeah,
you kind of have to.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like, are they gonna say like see that and say, well, you know. We hope for a good year, but doesn't necessarily mean we're going to sign him because we're not sure if he's going to be able to
teams
keep
weight won't
off.
Here's the thing, teams have paid attention to
health,
the rises and the falls, the crazy roller coaster ride that has been Pablo Sandoval's career. They've seen the overweight panda that came in and struggled. Where and you know the injury-ridden panda. They've seen him go through the stuff with his family. Yada yada yada. They've seen him where he's just been absolutely the greatest player on the face of this earth for stretches of time. And but I think that the bad in this case outweighs the good. When you are a team outside of the San Francisco organization, unless you're the right. Dodgers and you just want to troll like hell and be like, we'll give you 190
Well, they just signed Lonnie Uribe, so yeah.
Billion $10.
That's right.
So
sell them $10.
But I'm just saying teams, I don't think they're going to just say, oh, look at him now. Right. Look at him this year in his contract
right.
year.
Right.
He's a changed man.
Right.
He's going to be, you know, 215 pounds or whatever the hell he's going to be at.
I can't wait to see what his official weight is. I'm going to laugh.
Right?
If they say like 220, I'm like, no.
But I'm not foolish enough to think, oh, this is, you would hope he's a little bit older now. He's what, 24?
27.
27?
Yeah.
I thought he came in the league when he was like 18 or something.
No, he's 21.
Okay.
Yeah, he's
20. I thought he was one of the teen guys that came in.
No, he was 21.
So he's at that point in his career where you would hope that he would say, hey, I'm pushing 30. And for a third base position or whatever position he's going to be playing going forward, you would like to think that he would take it a little bit more seriously. But I think he's still going to have the fluctuations and battle the weight stuff. And I would like to think that general managers all across the league with think the same thing and kind of say, eh, we're interested in you and your talents, but we're not going to give you top dollar.
And I think that's where the Giants have an edge then.
That's what I would think.
Because then they could say, and the Giants are looking smarter and smarter for signing Hunter Pence when they did. Because Shin-Soo Choo got a whole boatload of money. Jacoby Ellsbury got a whole boat of money. Hunter Pence really isn't that much worse than those two guys.
What, they give him like $40
million? Yeah, they give him $90 million over 5 years.
Oh.
So he's making $18 million a year.
I thought he had some short-term deal for like $40 million.
So it's $18 million a year. Choo is almost 20, and then Jacoby is right at 20, basically. And so what's interesting about this is, if you look at Pablo, so his last contract in arbitration was 3 years at $15.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if the Giants came to him and said, we'll give you a 3-year contract at $30 million, if he does well, like by June, July.
What would you pay him? Let me throw you some numbers at him. Just base numbers, not your stupid statistician numbers.
I got a funny story about that.
None of that garbage.
Go ahead.
Let's just say Pablo hits 290, hits 24 home runs. We'll just say, because nobody on the Giants get on base, we'll say he gets 95
RBIs. Sure.
Kind of Buster Posey-esque numbers.
Right, but you're doing it at third base.
What would you...
And with the free agent market becoming less and less like a you're going to get a marquee player out there on the free agent market because teams are starting to tie up their young talent for longer, I think you're going to have to run into a Hunter Pence situation where you just sign him for a bunch of money. The other thing, this is the other thing that people aren't thinking about. Let's say the Giants don't do well. I think they're going to be great. I think they're an 88-win team. But let's say injuries, bad luck, farts, whatever it is.
Sound like my baby.
Let's say they're 15 games under 500 come July. All right? Let's say they're sitting at like 40 and 55.
And still leading the West.
Yeah, the Dodgers are 38 and 60. So
they clinch.
So awesome.
They clinch
so
15
awesome.
Games under 500.
So awesome. No, but so let's say they are.
Celebrating champagne. That'd be the weirdest. Imagine that celebration. Right. They're like, we're 30 games right. under 500 and we clinch the West. Everybody's
But let's say they're not doing well. For whatever reason, they're just.
Congratulations to go to 0-3.
That's right. Yeah. All right. We got swept by the Dodgers, but we're still in first place at 40 and 55.
Sorry, but continue.
Let's say they are. Let's say they're 42 and 50 or something like that. So they're beginning of July, right around the All-Star break. I said Pablo's had a freaking baller year.
You trade him to the Rays and
you
get Price.
Trade him?
You trade him to the Rays and you get Price.
Right. Well, that's something
That's what you do.
That's something that could, that technically, that could be on the table.
Because they talked about that last year, and I was like, pull the trigger on that. If that offer is a real offer and they present that, right, you pull the trigger on that. And you say, goodbye, Pablo Sandoval.
And what's interesting about that is the Rays could then... So they signed James Loney as their first baaseman.
Dude, okay. Remember, you might have said, what's his name in right field was untouchable? Or left field?
For
their big power hitter.
Oh, for the Rays? Oh, Will Myers is not going to get traded at all. No freaking way.
I thought he got traded.
No. Hell no. No, that guy did not get traded. Who, he will not get traded.
Was it the Rays? Who traded? Somebody traded a huge power hitter. Was it not the Rays?
The Rays traded for that power hitter. They traded James Shields to get Will Myers.
Okay, I must be... Okay, never mind.
Yeah. No, but... But, yeah, I mean... A trade like that could be on the table. But what's interesting is that now the Rays are talking about how they might just try and lock up Price long term. Take it. Just be like, you know what? And I think that's only going to happen if they don't think they can get anything for him. Right?
If they can. But, he's one of the best young pitchers in baseball.
But... people don't want to trade with the Rays anymore. Andrew Friedman is fleecing dudes. Like, there was that idea that he was going to go to the Mariners, but the Mariners would have to give up so much for him that eventually they're like, nah, that's not going to happen.
What do you think of the Yankees signing of...
Tanaka?
Tanaka.
They had to do it. They had to go to 7 years, too. They have a 4-year opt-out, which he's going to take because, of course, he's going to want more money.
Don't do what Boston did with Daisuke.
Yeah. No, but... he's going to be a better fit for the Yankees because there's better integration for the Japanese players. There's always been, except for Hideki Arabu. Seattle could have done that if they didn't spend all the money on Robbie Cano.
If they didn't spend all their money
all
on
that
the
money
3DS.
On the 3DS. Shout out
to Nintendo. They were like, do we re-sign? No? Okay, let's make a 3DS. Yeah. Let's make a new 3DS.
3DS.
3DS XL?
Here, or we're going to have Tanaka. Yeah, they're like, sorry, Tanaka. How about... we offer you $140 million
and
as many 3DS XLs as you want.
In any color.
Throw in a lifetime supply of extra styluses.
That's right. I know you'll lose them. We've seen you.
We'll give you a gift
card.
Now
you can just take them outside and just throw them anywhere you want.
You can buy anything on the eShop that you want at any time. That's exactly
free
what
eShop
you,
purchases.
Free eShop
you get to test the newest Pokemon games.
$100 million.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm like just covered in 3DSs and styluses, just like
He bought Legend of Zelda 100,000.
Yeah. He bought every copy.
But it is. I think the Yankees had to make the move. They're pitching. They have zero prospects. Their farm system sucks. They had to do it.
Yeah.
But they will have to make a move at some point to try and get there. It's either going to have to be reevaluating their scouts or trading someone that they don't really want to trade to get some young guys in there because they're really lacking.
Think about how much that would suck to be that guy in the New York Yankees AAA affiliated team.
Right.
And you're sitting there, you're just like, I'm waiting for my call up, waiting for the call. And they're kind of looking at you like,
right.
You know, let's just go buy that guy right over there.
And then get Beltran and Ellsbury and Altanaga.
They're like, yeah, you're good, but that guy on that team...
who's going to play infield for this
better
team?
And we have, like, a lot of money. So.
Yeah, enjoy AAA, homie.
But who's going to play infield for this team? They have no one at second. Jeter is basically a corpse at short. They have the invisible A-Rod at third with player to be filled in at some point. They got, like, Mark Reynolds or someone like that, which is hilarious. They got Tex coming back to play first, but Tex is a shell of his former self.
Yeah.
They don't have a catcher. They have outfielders. That's great. You got outfielders. You got too many outfielders.
They lost their closer.
They moved.
Like half their team retired.
Yeah. So like
that's what happens to the Yankees.
Yeah. Yankees are gonna
like,
be down this year.
Stop getting old.
Our 45-year-old reliever retired finally.
You know that Bud Selig wants to do a farewell tour
for himself,
like Mariano got
for himself. You can't do that as a commissioner.
I'm sorry, bud.
Get like gifts from people.
Can you imagine that? Could you imagine Molotov the gifts cocktail? He got? 6 packs of Pabst at every freaking place he goes to. It's because he's from Milwaukee. Here, just have Pabst.
Come on, bud.
Enjoy
Pabst. You're better than that, bud.
Right. I was gonna say earlier this week had there was some comment made when Joaquin Arias got signed to a two-year deal. I don't know why you give Joaquin Arias 2 years to be a backup utility guy.
Where?
For the Giants.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. But Eric Ritz, friend of the show, posted about how with some advanced stats, he's not as good as people want him to be.
But and he makes a big play every now and again. Yeah. People love him for it.
Yeah, and but the reply was you can't just use Saber stats. And I thought of you. I thought that was you making that comment.
Just being a troll.
Just being a troll. Trolling it out.
Those stats don't mean anything.
Pete is the Triple H booking.
Yeah. Prove it.
Of this show. Prove it.
They're like,
you're wrong. Prove it.
There's a formula right there.
Prove it.
No, it doesn't. Prove it.
That's a theory.
He proved it to get those stats.
No, those mean nothing. Prove it. They're like, God damn it.
He passes the eye test.
Yeah.
He had some more seeing eye singles than anybody in baseball.
We will have a show on Super Bowl Sunday, so this is not our Super Bowl show. Who do you think wins? And don't pick from your heart.
I think Richard Sherman wins everything. No, Russell Wilson's Jerry Curl wins everything.
That's amazing.
That is an incredible.
Really, who do you think who wins?
I think the Broncos.
You think the Broncos
do? Peyton Manning's going to get 2 weeks. I know that Pete Carroll is a great defensive coach, especially from a DB perspective.
I feel like the Seahawks.
Peyton Manning is going to eat that defense up.
I don't know. I feel like
you can only put so many guys on an island. They got five guys they can throw the ball to.
I have accepted the fact that there's a good chance the Seahawks could win the Super
Bowl. That's what sucks, though.
With all of my being, I want them to lose
badly.
But
I want those Jerry curls to go straight at some point.
Deep down, I have accepted the fact, kind of multiple times during the Celtics and their runs, where I would say, if I were a betting man, I bet that the Celtics or the Broncos, I feel like they will lose. Like, deep down, I feel like they will lose, and I can just envision it in my head. I can see, like, Pete Carroll, like, in confetti with the Super Bowl trophy and just all those stupid players that I metaphorically would like to punch in the face.
Right.
Not literally.
Right.
They're probably all great guys. But I just feel like they will win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
My world will be just this hollow shell of a man just walking around for the next few weeks.
Until
the Dodgers win.
I just really hope the Broncos win so that one guy who got the Seattle Seahawks tattoo that said they're the world champions, just so that one guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
Feels like an idiot for the rest of his
life. He is an idiot for getting that. But
Watch for the Seahawks jumping a whole lot of routes. They're going to be hyper-aggressive.
And getting lots
outside.
Of defensive touchdowns.
And getting a lot.
And looking like geniuses.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing, right? So Peyton Manning prides himself on not having the ball for longer than 3 seconds. That's his deal. He doesn't want to have the ball for longer than 3 seconds in any pocket passing situation, unless it's a play-action fake. But, like, if Seattle can figure out a pass rush and make Peyton get rid of the ball into situations where Seattle's defensive backs aren't in a position to make the play.
They can't. The argument you can make, well, look at the Giants when the Giants did against the Patriots. Brady. Brady was, I think it, like, they set the record for, like, least amount of sacks in a year.
Right.
That year. They were just that good up front. But you know what the thing is, though? The Seahawks, their front four are not the New York Giants front four.
No, they're not. They're not. But they can definitely mix up some blitzes.
Yeah.
You know?
But you know what? To beat a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, you know what you have to be able to do? Rush four.
Right.
Not have to bring five guys, six guys, seven guys, and then stick guys on an island. Because that's what happened with Tom Brady. The Giants were like, okay, you four guys, give them hell.
Right.
Just beat the living crap out of them. Umanyora and Justin Tuck and
JPP.
What's his name in his last year? Michael Strahan.
Yeah.
It was like, go get him. And that's what they did.
Right.
They had one other guy who was their, he wasn't really a nose guard.
No, not Armstead.
On any other team, he probably would have been a defensive end. But they were just fast, super athletic, very young, mean and aggressive, and they just got to Tom Brady. They sacked him
he was old.
But they sacked him like four or five times.
Yeah,
it was
Justin
insane.
Tuck had two sacks. Yeah.
That's the only thing that I don't see Seattle doing. Yeah, I just don't see them being able to just rush four.
they do trust their guys on an island, but there's there's too many guys to cover. And
but if you give them time, Peyton isn't going to be like, oh, I need to rush a throw and make a mistake.
If Seattle drops in the zone, they're screwed. Any zone coverage, Peyton kills. Yeah. So they have to make sure that they have enough DBs to be physical enough with them, and I'm not sure they do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
That's the thing. So
what's your pick?
I got Denver. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be a good game. I see them between 10 and 14 points. Denver is favored, but they're only favored by, I think, 1 or 2 points.
Yeah. I think, this was a while ago. I think it was like 2.5.
Yeah. I think it's up to 2.5 now.
Sam, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
Do you care about who wins the Super Bowl?
Either the Seattle Seahawks or the Denver Broncos.
I really don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, you just make a guess.
This is the good thing about the Super Bowl. Anybody can be a pundit.
You have a 50% chance.
Do you pick?
I could just make a spiteful pick and just be like Seahawks, and then you could just look stupid, and it's like, no.
It's not about looking stupid. It's about...
No, I have that feeling, because if I do it out of spite, I'll just be wrong, and they'll just get
crushed.
That's
how I feel, too. It's right.
It's just kind of how my attitude is in life. It's just...
Cynic.
Yeah, can't.
There's nothing wrong
with
that.
If I do that, it'll bite me.
But you do have to make one. You will not be allowed to leave the studio.
Broncos.
Nice. Okay. Harrison, our NFL beat writer, Harrison Young.
What?
You're on the beat. You're the man.
You cover the NFL for Los Livingston Brothers. With your expert analysis and love for the game, who do you have winning the Super Bowl?
I just want to say Broncos, I guess.
I feel like
no
I
reason
have,
at all, but just
I feel like I have to say Broncos.
Yeah,
just because I think that they are. We talked about it before. They're just a really good team, and I think that their defense is peaking at the right time.
Get Champ Bailey a ring, please. Get Champ Bailey a ring.
He just came back, right? Like Peyton Manning or whoever Broncos guy.
This is his first
second year back. Okay,
after his neck surgery.
Yeah,
please get Champ Bailey a ring.
16-year vet.
Former Redskin great. Absolutely, like, at his peak, the best cornerback in football for a decade.
Yeah.
Charles Woodson and him, like, co-held the torch. But Champ Bailey is, like, by far one of the best defensive backs I've ever seen in the NFL.
He's amazing.
He really is.
I was telling somebody on one of the boards I was on, was on SRK, but I was telling him, like, you youngins, Champ Bailey.
Oh, yeah, watch Champ Bailey.
He was Richard Sherman, but a little bit better. Yeah. No mouth. That was Champ Bailey.
You never hear him talk. You never heard him talk.
He just puts the hit on people.
He just
kills
people.
Interceptions.
So, by the way, the line right now is 1. That's the open line, so basically what people have it at. But most lines have it between 2 and 2.5. So, neutral field, they're saying, you know, Denver's a little bit better. But that's not really much. If it was a 7-point spread, I'd be like, okay, that's hilarious. But they're basically even, these two teams. So, Super Bowl, we don't care. I wanted to see commercials.
I do care.
I'll be fun.
Lie.
It'll be fun.
I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what else I'm going to do on Sunday. Care. Homework? I'll do my homework and watch Super Bowl.
There you go.
Any final thoughts, gentlemen, before we wrap a bow on this thing?
No.
No?
Nope. Not for me.
No? Okay. Samuel?
Sam, any final thoughts?
Oh, just randomly. Okay, magic cards. I just saw one in particular. Do you think this will be used more than the price is given? Cures
what
forward.
Are they, what is it going for?
It's 40
that
cents.
That thing's going to be like a $5.
That's a $5 uncommon.
That's going to be like a $5 uncommon. That's going to be used in Legacy. It's going to be used in Modern.
Untap other target permanent.
It's a Merfolk.
Oh, that's not fair.
Just Merfolk decks.
No, I've not just Merfolk decks, just
it's
anything.
Just a great card.
I know, just untap target another target permanent.
Yeah, it's just a great card.
I saw that, and I had to point it out to you guys, because I'm sort of casual, but I had to point it out, because that looks kind of crazy.
That card's going to be super fun.
Invest, buy all 56. Should I?
Sam trying to get that money.
No.
Trying to do that Neo Underground Syndicate.
I want to do blue-green, like, pretty bad.
That's
going to be really fun.
That would probably be a card that you
I'm so glad. My insight was correct.
Two mana, 2/2.
Two drop.
An amazing
Because that's great. Ability. That's a great ability for just 2/2.
Yeah.
That's
absolutely
amazing. Totally incredible.
The new set has been spoiled.
Pretty snazzy.
Power?
It looks pretty awesome.
Okay, cool.
It looks pretty awesome, the new Theros set.
Nice.
I saw a guy on MTG Headquarters, this YouTube channel. He, for like these like 20,000 subscribers special, he opened a unlimited starter deck, factory sealed, and he pulled a Power 9 Mox.
Yeah.
One of the artifacts.
$1,000.
Nice. It's crazy that those are still out there.
Yeah.
And he has a whole box of them. It's like the original, like, like 10.
Yeah, no, I've seen those. I've seen those.
Like, oh.
And the fact that they still have them, that people have them, like, hoarded away is still crazy.
I want to.
You know what you
could
do with your money if you want to make money? Mm. There's a website, TCG. No, not TCG.
TCG.
No, it's a.
MTG Salvation.
They just do finances of magic. And I found them really early on, and they're starting to pick up steam a little bit, but they find insane deals. They're like, okay, this card right now, you can buy it from this vendor and say it's like $20, and then you can sell it to this vendor.
For 40. Right.
And you can buy out all the stock from this one place. They may have 20 copies of it. Sell it all to this vendor and like double your money.
Side job. Called side job. Ooh.
And it's like free. That's like what they do. Like, you want a free $10? Buy all this card you can, then sell it to this guy right now.
Free, huh?
And people do it all the time. Well, and it is. It's like free money. You have to. I mean, you have to be able to have the initial investment, of course, to buy the cards. But people are just making
that
money.
You have no idea how proud I am that I just like spotted a possible like prodigy uncommon in the next upcoming set, and that you guys agreed with me on that.
Yeah, it'll be
so
a good
proud.
Time.
It'll be fun.
All right, so, I gotta go.
Anyways, thank you. Yeah. We're leaving. Thank you for joining us,
baby.
Harrison at HarrisonSBA on Twitter. Twitch.tv/IFAWinner. Show that sucks Tuesday nights. Waimei Dojo. Couple of great matches up on IPlayWinner on their YouTube channel. Go check that out. We will be back next Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, the first weekend of February, and we hope that you will join us for some more shenanigans and love.
At the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl. We'll be live at the Super Bowl, by the way.
That'd be cool if you could be there.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.